Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. At the Preakness in Baltimore just minutes ago,
Nyquist pitches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. Vangeli Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the table. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
That's NBC announcer Larry Colmus calling the winner of the Preakness on a rainy day in Baltimore, with Exaggerator winning the race, beating out Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist. That horse entered the race with an 8-0 record. But a sad start to the Preakness as two horses died and a jockey broke his collarbone in earlier races on a muddy track. One horse broke her front leg and had to be euthanized. Another collapsed and died after winning the opening race. Officials aren't sure yet what happened to that horse. It's the 141st running of the Preakness Stakes on the second leg of the Triple Crown. President Obama is heading to Vietnam, pushing for a contentious 12-nation Trans-Pacific trade pact that includes the U.S., Vietnam, and Japan. Michael Froman, U.S. Trade Representative, says the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement would eliminate many Vietnamese tariffs on things made in the U.S.
Made in American machinery, like construction equipment, are hit with tariffs as high as 59%. Beef, 34%. Poultry, 40%. So we face these barriers getting our products into Vietnam, and those tariffs will either be eliminated or greatly reduced through the TPP.
Now, the deal faces strong opposition from U.S. presidential candidates and others who say it doesn't do enough to protect U.S. workers. Obama will then head to Japan for the G7 summit of world financial leaders. And Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew is in Japan meeting with G7 counterparts ahead of that summit. They've agreed to take aggressive steps against terrorist financial networks. But Steve Beckner of Market News International reports there is tension over currency exchange rates.
The Japanese yen has been rising steeply against the U.S. dollar, raising concerns in Washington that monetary authorities in Tokyo might try to devalue the yen to make Japanese goods more competitive. Liu was emphatic in warning against Japanese currency market intervention to push down the yen, reminding Japan of a long-standing G7 pact to refrain from competitive devaluations. But the G7 has also inveighed against disorderly exchange rate movements, and Japanese Finance Minister Taro Aso suggested that is what has been happening to the yen, calling recent moves in his country's currency one-sided and speculative. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
French officials say sensors on board the Egypt Air Flight 804 detected smoke in parts of the plane minutes before it crashed into the Mediterranean Sea, although they say it's too early to draw conclusions. Investigators also say it will take time to determine the cause of the crash. This is NPR News from Washington. A solar-powered airplane is heading to Ohio today. It's the last leg of the around-the-world trip for the Swiss-made Solar Impulse 2. It took off from Tulsa this morning, and the trip is expected to take around 18 hours to complete. The plane started its journey more than a year ago in Abu Dhabi and made stops in Oman, Myanmar, China, and Japan. Tens of thousands of volunteers are taking inventory at more than 100 national parks across the country this weekend. NPR's Nathan Rott reports this so-called BioBlitz is aimed at getting an accurate picture of the number and diversity of plant and animal species.
National parks know that they have a wide range of plants and animals, but it's hard for them to say just how many and how much. A BioBlitz gives parks and scientists an idea of just how much biodiversity exists at that park, and it gives them a baseline to compare to in future years. Idea being that if biodiversity goes up or down at a park, it would be an indicator that something has changed in that environment. This marks the 10th annual BioBlitz for the National Park Service. It's tied to the service's centennial this year. Tens of thousands of volunteers are expected to participate. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
In Chicago, a 54-year-old orangutan has been euthanized. Zoo officials at the city's Brookfield Zoo say they made that decision because Maggie was suffering from declining health. She was the second oldest known female of her species. A zoo spokeswoman says the oldest lives in a zoo in Tokyo. Maggie was born at the San Diego Zoo and was the mother of four. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.